Welcome back to 3D Dialogue. The division between Shia and Sunni Muslims dates back to the death of the Prophet Muhammad, when the question of leadership arose amongst the Muslim empire. And although these two main subgroups within Islam share the most fundamental Islamic beliefs, this initial question of political leadership affected some aspects of spiritual life and now differ between the two groups. Joining me in studio today to discuss the historical and present-day differences between Sunni and Shia Muslims is Imam Hamid Slimi, who is of the Sunni Muslim background from the International Muslims Organization, and Imam Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi, who is of Shia background from the Jafari Islamic Center here in Toronto. Thank you very much for both of you in joining us today.
Okay.
Now, why don't we start, I guess, with the historical origins of the difference. And I would ask either of you perhaps to describe this difference and why this split came about.
If I can reverse the process, start with the common issues,
okay.
And then that's where we'll see
and then
the
get to the differences.
Start. I think both groups, the Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims, share in the core beliefs of the faith. When we talk about the concept of one God, the concept of Prophet Muhammad as the last and the final prophet of God on this earth. When we talk about the Quran and the textual integrity of the book.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the concept of angels and the day of judgment. And even the most basic practice that we have, the prayers and the fasting and the charity and the pilgrimage, are all commonly, believed by both groups.
Mm-hmm.
There are differences in how some of these practices are done, but that does not prevent us from doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
The question of division, yes, starts on the question of succession to Prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see the divide happened between the Shias and the Sunnis.
Now, this particular divide, am I correct in assuming that it was initially political? And as you say, there is so much commonality between the two.
Yes, indeed. It's political, as Imam said. Initially, it wasn't an issue of dogma.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, probably in this show, you may want to just explain to the viewers that it's not as it is between Catholic and Protestants.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we belong to one council of imams, and we do most of the things together. We have the same book, which is the Quran. We follow
mm-hmm.
the same man, the
mm-hmm.
same prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We love the family of the prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We have many things in common. It's not as you may think of other religions. It's the same religion.
The differences are actually quite small.
Well, because Islam deals with all aspects of life,
mm-hmm.
and as comparative with religions, would like to call it an orthoprax religion rather than orthodox, which means deals with things that you do in life, including politics, how do you
right.
govern the society. So there were initially some differences. Historically, they developed, but the perception from outside is that it's a major difference, but it's
mm-hmm.
not indeed. Muslims, whether Sunni and Shia, they have five pillars of Islam. They have many things that bind them together rather than divide them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned that both, let's say, practice in the pilgrimage to Mecca. Are there other aspects with regard to pilgrimages or shrines that are distinct, that are there, for example, Shia shrines or Sunni shrines that are separate and not shared?
I think from the Shia point of view, since we talk about the leadership after the Prophet, I think the distinction that the Shias have is that we give more importance to the family of the Prophet, and we believe that the leadership should have been in the line of the Prophet's family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because of with that, historically events have happened where the Shia imams from the family of the prophets, they lived in Arabia, in Iraq, and so the places where they died or they were killed, we have the shrines where
mm-hmm.
the Shia Muslims also go there, part of their pilgrimage in the English sense of the word, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Although we don't call it Hajj. Hajj is only for Mecca.
Right.
It's ziyara, visitation to the shrine of the Prophet in Medina, as well as the imams in Medina and cities in Iraq, and also one of the cities in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious also, I mean, obviously we are focusing on the similarities, but in terms of the differences, is there a geographic difference in terms of the way that Sunni and Shia Muslims have settled? And is there even an ethnic difference? Or are they really of the same people, just having a different approach to how they govern society?
Well, basically, the Shia, if I may, focused mainly, as Imam said, in the areas where the Imams lived and mm-hmm. had their progeny, mm-hmm. and that would be Iraq and Iran. And some, but that's not necessarily, they're everywhere. And
right.
Based on, you know, many studies, they're in almost every part of the world. Mm-hmm. The Sunnis, on the other hand, they are everywhere from east to west. But back to the differences, as you said, the political differences. We Sunnis believe that any Muslim can lead,
right.
provided has the quality of trustworthiness and strength of intellect and, you know, physical strength and a few other, you know, aspects of strength. However, still the family of the Prophet is honored, and but indeed the Shia see the authority has been, you know, transferred from the Prophet into his family, and the emphasis now is more of what brings us together, and this is one of the aspects. The other aspects that, of course, could be sources is the Quran is the same, but
right.
the interpretations
could be different.
Could be different. But so in the Sunni school, anyone who reaches a level of scholarship recognized by the Ummah, for the nation, the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily from the family of the Prophet.
Right.
It could be anyone from any, as a matter of fact.
Who has sort of achieved that level of scholarship.
Yeah, well, the interpretations or the hadiths or the sayings of the Prophets were compiled actually by, most of them, these six books, were compiled by people who were not Arabs.
Right.
Who were actually from what you call, you know, today Europe or Central Asia,
mm-hmm.
countries like Uzbekistan and mm-hmm. this Bukhari, Tirmidhi, all these scholars came into Islam and they compiled the hadith and they did a good job. There are those who are Arabs, but that's a source of hadith, which is
right.
the interpretation of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet.
So it's almost literally a non-ethnic approach. Now, unfortunately, we have to take a break, but we'll return to this discussion in a moment. I'm speaking with Imam Hamdi Hamid Slimi from the International Muslims Organization and Imam Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi from the Jafari Islamic Center here in Toronto. We'll be back with more on this discussion after this short break. You're watching 3D Dialogue. Welcome back to 3D Dialogue. I'm Jesse Hirsch, and I'm in studio today with Imam Hamid Slimi from the International Muslims Organization and Imam Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi from the Jafari Islamic Center here in Toronto. Now, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the sort of ethnic and geographic differences between Sunni and Shia Islams. And Imam, you wanted to elaborate a little bit on
that. Yeah, I just wanted to make the viewer understand it clearly that it's not really an ethnic divide. It's
mm-hmm.
You can see Shias and Sunnis on all ethnic backgrounds, all the way, let's say, from India to Pakistan to Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, and even Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite
about,
a large
yes.
area.
So, and historically, you know, the communities have shifted around. You know, there was a time when there were many Shias in Egypt, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually ruled by the Fatimid caliphates, and so it's really not an ethnic
division.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the issues that people see in the screen these days, events from Iraq, even there you will see it's not really an ethnic issue,
mm-hmm.
And neither is it a religious or sectarian issue. It's more a political issue. If you have a majority or a minority, you know, suppressing the other group, whether they are Shia or Sunni,
mm-hmm.
you know, the one who is oppressed is going to react.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, we have the situation in Iraq where you have this Saddam's regime, who does not necessarily represent the Sunni Muslims, mm-hmm. although he happened to be from that group. But it wasn't a sectarian issue. And you had a substantial majority of the Shias there oppressed by Saddam's regime.
And not allowed to practice their religion.
Yes,
or to observe
yes, there were all even restrictions in what they could do politically or religiously. Mm-hmm. And so those tensions, it's more a political issue of being oppressed that you see coming out now. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily that the Sunnis are against the Shias or the Shias are against the Sunnis. Religiously, we cannot look at things in that way.
Well, and it is, I would say, a tragedy that our mainstream media continues to articulate the conflict in Iraq as being religious. And perhaps it's, you know, the Americans who certainly should take some responsibility for the political environment that's there, that rather than they accept responsibility, they seem to point the finger at both Sunni and Shia Muslims as being responsible. Yet here you are, both of you, in Toronto, certainly your friends before you came on this show, and yes. Sunni and Shia Muslims all around the world regularly work together. Can you perhaps describe or elaborate a bit more on that level of cooperation?
Well, you said it well. The politicians, actually, when they mess it up, they like to finger point.
To like to blame others. Someone yes. else.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they have a high level of responsibility. And when we say responsibility, meaning you have to respond to questions. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's a failure after failure. And then when you come and you're faced with your people or whoever is asking you, then you start blaming. Iraq, it's not a problem of Shia and Sunni. Mm-hmm. They suffered from the injustice, both Sunnis and Shias mm-hmm. suffered from the injustice of a totalitarian regime, mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein, who was supported by the West, mm-hmm. By Americans. It's a regime that was strengthened by the West. It was the chemical weapons that were against the Kurds were brought from the West. Mm-hmm. So let's read the history. Let's not just follow the paper and just, you know, assume we're this is how it is. It's not like that. Any truth you want to deal with, you have to go to the background. Any conflict in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is how you deal with the issue. It's not the Iraqi people are